The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. Good afternoon and welcome to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. I am Leonard Sands along with my co-host.
I am Debbie Deal.
There we go. And we are streaming live audio and video on GuardianTalkRadio.com. Listen on TV and Cable Bahamas channel 969 or BTC Flow channel 612. You can download the Guardian app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on Guardian Radio app. Text us on Guardian Radio text line 422-GR96. That's 422-GR96. Powered by BTC. Standard text rate supply. Or you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Or call toll-free from the Family Islands at 300-5720.
And we would like to thank you so much last week for your text messages and your phone calls, and also for all the people that have called us to say we didn't know that information before. This was so great. We hope you do this every week, and we are doing this every week.
Every single week.
We are here to educate.
So before we get going, we want to thank our sponsors.
Yes, we would like to thank our sponsors. Let me just put my glasses on. CBS Bahamas Pro Store. They aim to provide to contractors and DIYers with unbeatable service on a variety of building supplies located on Robinson Road. The Pro Store is open from Monday to Saturday, 7 to 4. We also want to thank Art Development, sole supplier of MST fiberglass rebar in the Bahamas. Let us get rid of cracks in the concrete forever. No rust and no corrosion. And we'd also like to thank
Arm Caribbean.
Is it?
Arm Caribbean.
Oh, sorry. ARM Caribbean. They do
refrigeration
and air conditioning. Yes.
Yeah. So today I want the listening public, especially our contractors, to take a moment, grab a notepad, piece of paper, and let's get into an area that for far too long, I think it's been something that we all were misguided about for many, many years, and it's a practice that needs to cease in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. I think we've sorted it out a lot of places, but because we have mostly informal trained practices in the Bahamas, it's more prevalent. And I'm talking about the question that most persons ask of their homeowners, insurance providers, realtors, bankers, especially banks, and professionals alike, how to calculate cost per square foot. Now, Debbie, you and I were having a conversation off air about the common question that people say, Debbie, how much do you build for per square foot?
Right.
And what's wrong about that statement there, Debbie?
Well, it is impossible to tell what your square footage price is on each job. And you really can't say to anybody, well, if I average them all together, it's like $180 a square foot, because some jobs are $500 a square foot, some are $150 a square foot. It depends on what you're actually putting in it. And just think about if you're a lady, think about going into a clothing store to buy a dress, right? what price are the dresses going to be? If you want a formal gown, it's going to be something. If you want a cocktail dress, it's going to be something else. Yeah. If you want a suit, it's going to be something else. A sundress, something the same.
Absolutely.
Same with you going into a store.
Suit. Yeah.
You know,
I could buy a suit at one price. I could buy a pair of slacks at one price and a top at one price. Short pants and a top at a different price.
Like,
the whole concept of I build for this amount per square foot, I've always said that is so erroneous as a starting point, because what you're saying is that you've already anticipated every element in that home before you started. And that's not how you could meet somebody and say, I know I'm going to charge you $100 a square foot. That's actually
right. And I think a lot of persons don't understand all the work that actually goes into doing a quote for a job, because you actually have to break that job down from the very first thing of clearing the land, digging the trenches, to every single nail and screw that's going to go into that job. Yeah. And it's a tedious, time-consuming job. Yeah. But if you are good at it, you're able to actually make sure that the price that you're giving to the client
is a true and accurate price,
yeah. right? And that's one of the things that I think is a big problem, because everybody says, oh, well, it doesn't matter to me what kind of toilet I have. Yeah, it does. It will. It may not now,
but if
we put in the wrong one,
yeah,
it will.
It's going to matter to
somebody. It really benefits us to do a great job in our quote and breaking everything down for the client so that they understand where the money's going and where the cost is coming from. And also it's good so that the client or the person who wants to build or renovate, or the banks that are lending the money, or the insurance companies that are insuring it, understand what is actually going to be in that house or building when it's completed.
Absolutely. So, Debbie, thank you for that wonderful explanation to it. Now, let me give the listening audience a formal step-by-step guide on how to calculate the cost per square foot, so that when you go about hopefully trying to find a price to have your home or renovation done, you don't approach a contractor and said, how much do you build for per square foot? You're not going into a fast food chain and asking for a burger. Your home is different from your neighbor's home. The contents in your home is different. So, first step, to determine the total cost of construction first. Now, include all expenses. This includes materials, labor, permits, professional fees like architects or engineers, equipment rentals, or any other costs directly associated with construction. That's just the first thing you do.
Right, and don't forget Johnny on the spots as well.
Of course, all general condition, whether you need to have the property fenced, any security, all of those are costs.
Right.
So let's take 2 minutes and talk about costs. I often find that in the Bahamas, we don't appreciate all the costs associated with construction, just because we often see construction where all the costs are not necessarily represented. What I mean by that is we've all seen construction sites where there's a construction going on, there's no portable toilet on the site, there's no security fencing on the site so that a passerby doesn't come onto your site and get hit with a crane in the head, or concrete truck is pumping concrete and they're standing too close and it backfires and some dangerous situation happened, or they just some child wanders onto the site and get impaled by a piece of rebar. Persons don't recognize that the cost to protect the site first is a part of the cost. Secondly, they don't consider supervision as a cost. Okay, the contractor is the general contractor. He is not necessarily always going to be on the site. Who's the second level of supervision that you have there?
Right.
And then thirdly, they don't consider, and this is me, the industry, persons don't consider a part of your cost as insurances. Debbie, would you want somebody to be working in your home over your grand piano if you have in your living room, and they didn't have insurance over your job, and they damage your piano? How do you get that recovered?
That's very funny, because in January we did a job with a piano, so that's why I'm laughing at that one.
Okay,
it was like the baby we had.
The baby grant, so right into full grant. So these are the common things we talk about when we have to appreciate all the costs associated with.
Correct.
Let's talk about permitting, though.
Yeah, but hang on. Without the fencing and the gates that are locked,
Your insurance is invalid.
But yes, hang on.
Yeah.
If you go away for 2 days and nobody's on the site, you're going to come back and your material's not going to be gone.
And they won't be covered.
Right.
Because let me help, again, the listening audience and contractors. Mm-hmm. Contractors in Bahamas need to understand. If you read your insurance cover for contractors, all risk insurance. Firstly,
It's not all risk.
All is a very all-encompassing word. Let's try to get away from the word all. It does not cover things that you should ensure that you mitigated the risk against. Like, if you have a site and you have the windows installed, but you didn't have the site secured, your insurance will not cover that. If you have a site that you didn't have your insurance cover to state specifically that this type of occurrence can happen on your site, and that happened, it's not covered. And so we don't want to get into too much of the detail of it, but I think for the public, we have to be careful when we think about all risk insurance, because it's really not all risk. And if you read your cover, it actually specifies the type of risk that is covered, right, and excludes some risks.
And if
as well.
if you haven't seen that before as a contractor or a client, you can always call any insurance company
that you deal with.
And just say, I would like to know what's really involved
in all
this,
risk, yeah.
Because we need to know if we're going to do a quote
absolutely
for somebody or a job for somebody. We want to make sure, and the client also wants to make sure that everything is covered. The purpose of all of those things is not just for one or the other, it's for both.
Yeah.
It's to make sure that everybody is happy at the end of the day.
Responsibility and liability, how
correct,
full coverage. One of the things I think we need to mention too, the flexibility of insurances now is that, Debbie, if you're doing a project and you read your insurance cover and you recognize that specific risk is not covered, you could have it included. You're going to pay for it, mm-hmm, but you could have it included.
Sure.
For example, if you have to have something barged to your site, mm-hmm, and your all-risk insurance is on your site, but this, let's say, $500,000 piece of equipment need to get your site crossing over water,
and
you've identified that risk.
And the barge may not have the price, the insurance to cover
absolutely
that.
Absolutely. But you can ask them, I know I'm going to do this thing. Can I have that specific thing added in my all-risk insurance?
Right.
So I think insurance companies have been very smart and wise in helping contractors who are aware, mm-hmm, that they could include additional things in their all-risk insurance.
Right. It's very important.
So we just saw step one. Step two, after you determine all the costs involved and come up with the complete construction cost, now you have to do something else called, you have to calculate the total square foot of the building. Why is that important? Because you're dealing with something with a mathematical formula. It's called cost/per square foot. If you don't know the square foot of the building, you won't get the end result, which is what you're looking for, which is the cost per square foot.
Right.
So you have to measure the total area. This is the total area of square feet that will be constructed, including all floors and any additional areas like basements or garages, if applicable. So now you have the total cost of something, now you have the total square foot of the thing, and now you have to apply the formula. The formula is, write it down, people. For example, if you have all your costs equal to $500,000 divided by the square foot, which is now $2,500, that's just a simple calculation.
$2,500 square foot.
What's that, Debbie?
You said $2,500 is
$500,000 is the cost of construction,
okay, mm-hmm,
and 2,500 square foot is the building.
Correct. Mm-hmm. 200.
Hey, that's a quick math on that. That's $200 a square foot?
Yeah.
So what if somebody came to you, so $200 a square foot, right? What if somebody came to you, Debbie,
mm-hmm,
and said, I'm going to build, now, again, before I go there, you could do the math yourself. So,
mm-hmm,
you did the math. Your house costs $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the estimate of all the costs are.
Mm-hmm.
Your square foot of your home from the architectural plans and your verification of measurement is $2,500, and that yields $200 a square foot. If someone now says, madam, Deal, I can build your house for $125 a square foot. Now, Now that you have this information, how do you look at that person now? How do you look at them as being qualified to do your project?
I just give them back the plans and tell them, thank you very much and good luck.
Absolutely.
Because I'll tell you what, I had a woman come to me and she had a 4,000-square-foot house mm-hmm. and she said that it could be built for $175,000 because that's what the bank said it
mm-hmm,
would
that's
cost.
What the bank said.
That's
mm-hmm.
what it would cost. And I said, no, I did the quote and it was like $375,000 or something mm-hmm. like that. And she went with somebody else who said that they would do it for $175,000. And
it didn't complete?
No, it didn't complete.
At
came
all.
Back to me, and I'm sorry. I'm not going back in there now.
Absolutely. So no. One of the things, and this is where we're having this conversation on live radio for persons to understand. The cost per square foot, I've always said, is only a check. Mm-hmm. You know, and I only can speak from my experience. I went to university for construction. This is how I got my knowledge base. Never mind the fact my dad was a contractor, bless his heart. He learned from someone who told him. Mm-hmm. I went to university for it, right? And in our training, they told us, you never start with the cost per square foot because you'd only be setting up yourself for failure. Mm-hmm. Two things going to happen. Either you're going to end up with a price that has nothing to do with the actual project that you're building, and you're gonna lose your shirt, your family, your kids, and everything. Mm-hmm. Or, unfortunately, you're gonna overprice a product which costs significantly less because all you're doing is throwing darts in the dark.
Right.
So you always do what you said, Debbie. Get all the costs, determine the cost, divide it by the square foot, and then check your estimate. Right. Does this align with the cost per square foot? And then you say, your project costs $500,000 divided by 2,500. It's going to be built at $200 per square foot.
Right. So that's after you've done all that work, then you could answer that question.
Then you could
but
answer
you could
that
never
question.
Answer that question
it's
prior
impossible.
To that because you
it's
will.
It's impossible.
Yes, absolutely. And then you also have to think about things that can raise the cost of a project that are not even included in the cost that you're doing. And that's why it's so important to do change orders and that type of thing.
And appreciate that those things can
right.
impact the cost of the project
because,
as well.
Because, you know, last week, we were, based on the people that called and sent text messages, right? One person was talking about how the job took longer to actually mm-hmm. do, right? Okay, there's so many instances where that could actually happen.
Yeah.
Think about, let's say you were going to do a house that was going to take a month, 12 months to do, mm-hmm. right? And then when you were just about to start the job, you call the window and door company and say, how long is it going to take to get my windows and doors here? And they're going to give you a time frame of 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That means the minute you sign that contract, you have to give them mobilization money so
yeah.
that by the middle of the job, you're actually going to have windows and doors to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're not going to be able to finish that job
Absolutely.
On time. And the customer has to understand that these are things that have to be done if we're going to meet that deadline. Also think, go ahead.
So I want you to put a pin there because in the commercial banking relationship in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. I want to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be an appreciation for what you said just now, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a contract to build something that costs 12 months, but per the plans and specification, the window selected costs 6 months. Now, if you're going through a bank finance job, they're not going to mobilize you, the mobilization and an additional, let's say it's $70,000 for windows. I found them to be very rigid in that regard. However,
then I can't build your house.
Exactly. So I think that if they did, mm-hmm. we'd have less challenges where contractors don't meet the completion deadline because it's unfair to think that you gave them on $300,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
You give them 10% of it as a mobilization. Great.
Right.
That's $30,000. That covers the slab. That's all it covers. Now you need to get another money's moving, a payment, to do the walls and the roof and all that. But the windows need 6 months to be paid for.
Well, there is a solution.
In order to arrive.
There is a solution for that. You go to the client and you say, tell them in the bank that it's 6 months to get the windows and doors. If you don't want to mobilize the windows and doors of this project, then the client should take out the money, right? And the client should actually pay for the windows and doors. I know, and order and order them and bring them in.
Yeah.
And then what we will do is
we'll
install them when they arrive. But if they get late, then we have to do a change order of time based on what the client has done, instead
Absolutely.
Of putting the onus on the contractor.
Yes. But so, and that's a good point, Debbie. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes there needs to be an appreciation for how construction happens. A lot of times, there is just confusion on what actually happens in the construction process. And it's not the fault of anyone except for you're just ignorant to how it happens. And
right.
when I mean that not in a terrible way, you just don't know.
Right.
So if you're telling me at month 6, mm-hmm. I have to have the windows, what happens if I don't have the windows? To me, the project end date is going to get pushed out.
Has to be.
If the project and they get pushed out, now the contractors on the site incurring costs longer than they had anticipated. The cost overruns now fall on who? The contractor. Now.
Correct.
And how do they even recover that cost?
You can't. That's why sometimes you'll find a contractor will not take the job because they understand that if the rules are so rigid, there's no way that we are going to make you happy.
Absolutely.
There's no way the job is going to come to fruition. Yep. So it's better to not do that job.
It's better to walk away.
Think about this, something simple as you know, we don't have manufactured, well, we do have manufactured sand, but we don't use manufactured sand here in construction.
No.
We use dredged sand, right?
Yeah.
So if you're building in the winter months, when you have the nor'easters and things like that, and it's the sand barges are not able to go out and get sand. Mm-hmm. The barge may not be able to go out for 2 and 3 weeks. That means not only is there not sand to do your browning and your finishing and that kind of stuff, but the block companies can't make blocks. So these are things that can actually prolong, you know, a job as well. So these are things that we have to think of as a contractor.
Absolutely.
But the client and the bank has to also understand that these are things that are totally beyond our control.
Yeah.
And we've learned that the supply chain is, even now that COVID is over, the supply chain is still insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. And there's nothing that you or I could actually do about it.
And so
we shouldn't be penalized for it.
We shouldn't. And this is where the education aspect of construction has to come in and has mm-hmm. to evolve. Because until we get a better appreciation of all the factors involved with it, we can't seem to change and make improvements in industry.
Correct. Well, I think based on what we heard last week with the persons calling in and the text, we feel that a lot of these problems can be sorted out by a proper contract. So maybe we should go into that.
Yeah, after the
break.
After
the break,
yeah.
We'll go into the contracts.
The contract.
Y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FIP's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FIP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
Rachel came to CBS Bahamas for some paint inspiration.
I was all over the place with colors. I needed help.
Our Pratt & Lambert inspiration cards gave her all kind of color combination ideas.
I chose their serene color scheme for the dining room, their calming color scheme for the family room, ooh, and their poetic color scheme for the bedroom.
Come let Pratt & Lambert Inspiration Cards help you build, well, paint beautiful. Visit the Pratt & Lambert Paint Center today at CBS Bahamas Southwest Plaza, Carmichael Road.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is...
que le habían otorgado la Cámara de Diputados.
For the month of September, the Head Spot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the Head Spot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. And Debbie, you want to plug our sponsors?
Yeah, we are going to plug our sponsors one more time. So CBS Bahamas Pro Store aims to provide contractors and DIYers with unbeatable service on a variety of building supplies. Located on Robinson Road, the Pro Store is open from Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 4 a.m. Art Development, ART Development, the sole supplier of MST fiberglass rebar in the Bahamas. Let's get rid of cracks in concrete forever. No rust, no corrosion. And ARM
Caribbean
refrigeration and air conditioning.
Absolutely. So, Debbie, during the break, we had a short conversation about the next segment that we wanted to get into for our contractors and the listening public. It's about the importance of a contract. Now, we've often heard all the horror stories. We've heard the things that didn't go right. You've heard the contractor ripped me off. We've heard the client didn't pay. We've heard, you know, all the sad stories. And so this is an attempt for us to demystify it and kind of create an opportunity for persons to engage their next building project differently.
Right.
Let's talk about a contract and what you should do before engaging in any type of work?
Well, so to me, everybody says contract and then they get scared. They think, oh, we got to get a lawyer and we've got to have them pay them to do this. And how are we going to do this? And how do we know that it's going to work for us and make sure that we're protected and all that kind of stuff? There's contracts that are out there that you can actually adopt.
Yeah.
Like I like the AIA contractors, contract
owner and architect.
And I like the shortened version. It's 8 pages.
Yeah.
And it but the thing with the contract that makes it work for everybody is including all of the issues that we've just talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've talked about time, but you also have to talk about what happens if it doesn't happen. Right? We've talked about the money. What happens if you have overruns? You know, the main thing that you have to consider is during anything, I don't care what you're doing, whether you're baking a cake, whether you're cooking food for 50 people for a function, or whether you're building a house, you're going to have overruns.
Yeah.
You're going to run out of stuff and you think, oh crap, we still got to do more stuff for this. We got to make the coleslaw and we haven't considered that yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you get that in absolutely everything. So you really have to have a change order that you do for absolutely every single thing. It benefits the client and it benefits the contractor. We talked about the weather. So if there's a problem with the weather
and it creates a delay.
Right, and that's going to cause a delay, you do a change order. And you do because change orders are not just money. Change orders are also
time, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Because time is costs the contractor a lot. Because
And on that point too, Debbie, I think it's important to know that there can be no cost to change orders.
Correct. Some of them have no cost at all.
Some of them have no cost.
But you have to recognize them and put them down and write them. And both parties have to actually sign it to make sure that it's been done.
Yeah.
And you can always verify if the sand barge was out for 3 weeks and there was no sand and there was no blocks and you weren't able to stockpile them. Who stockpiles them? Because they get stolen. They go to the rightful owner. So, you know, that kind of thing. Those are the kind of things that you can actually verify with the Met Office, right? So it's always
You could provide documentation for that occurrence
right.
that actually happened.
Right.
But so, Debbie, let's talk about elements of the contract. Talk about the things that, in writing a short contract, just what you need to have some minimum things in your contract.
Right. The first thing you do is say when you're going to start and when you're going to end. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing you're going to. And then it's based on the start date is based on the payment of mobilization.
The payment of mobilization, not.
Right.
we say we're going to start next week, right. but you don't send me payment for 2 months.
Right. And we also have to put in the contract that the client, if the client's job is to actually clear the property,
yeah.
then the property has to be cleared
first.
And they have to make sure that they have the environmental certificate to actually do that first before anything is done. So those also are things that would go in the contract mm-hmm. to make sure that later on down the road, somebody doesn't say, well, you were supposed to do this. No. It's in the contract. That's your obligation. And if it's not your obligation, then it's the contractor's obligation. And that goes into yeah. that, right? So those are the kind of things that you want to make sure are there to protect everybody. So you've done that, and then you have the price of it, mm-hmm. of the contract, which we've already gone over the price mm-hmm. of the contract. Then what you have to do is you actually have to put in what is part of that. So I always included the quote that I would have given, mm-hmm. because the quote would have broken everything down, mm-hmm. right? This is how much it's going to cost to do the general construction.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much the roof will cost. This is how much the windows mm-hmm. will be. Electrical, plumbing, air conditioning, all of those things are broken down so that somebody can actually see where the money comes from.
That's essential to any good contract. Now, let me ask you a question, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if I'm the client in our contract and I don't pay you? You've done your portion of the work. Let's say you were paid to put in the windows. You put in the windows, and for whatever reasons, you just don't pay me. Or you take long to pay. I put in a payment request on Monday. It's 3 weeks later, and you still haven't paid me.
Well,
can you identify something you could do in a contract to ensure that we recognize that we have a challenge here?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get beyond this challenge?
Well, basically, a proper construction contract has what is called arbitration. So if there is a problem, if you're not getting paid, then you actually would have to use that clause of arbitration. You would actually have to bring in somebody else to actually look at what's been done, find out why the client hasn't paid, and that arbitrator will make the decision as to what happens.
Good. So we're discussing some things that kind of goes over your head sometimes with contracts, right? But
right.
I think one of the big things we're trying to say is that it isn't a process that anyone can't do. It's really about having a conversation in black and white.
Correct.
About what you want done.
Right.
For example, Debbie, let's go through a basic scenario for mm-hmm. the public to understand.
Okay.
I want your construction company to write a contract for mm-hmm. the construction of just a wall. The wall is 100 foot long
okay.
by 5 foot tall.
Okay.
How would that contract sound?
It would basically say, we will build a wall on your property, lot number, blah, blah, and
uh-huh.
such and such.
Why is that important?
Such.
The lot number?
Because you want to make sure if you build it and then later on you find out that the client wasn't on the right piece of
Absolutely.
Property, you want to make sure that you're going to get paid for it.
Because yes.
if you don't have that, you're just going to have to pay for it twice.
Yeah, you need a good
right?
reference. Well, you need to say, this mm-hmm. is house number XYZ located on this street,
right.
this street. Owners are X, Y, and Z.
Right.
That's to ensure that you're dealing with a real person, that you
Correct.
Say you went to this address. It's legal.
Correct.
Let's make sure you're at the right place.
Yeah, you have to do that.
Okay.
And then the next thing you would do is you would actually say how you're going to build it.
How are you going to build
it? You're
going
to build it with steel reinforcement.
Absolutely.
Fiberglass reinforcement and fiberglass columns.
Absolutely.
8-inch blocks.
8-inch blocks.
You're going to...
Let's take a pin right there.
Mm-hmm.
I like you said 8-inch blocks because mm-hmm. there could be an instance where someone tried to build a perimeter wall with 4-inch blocks
right.
or 6-inch blocks.
Right.
If you don't say, I'm going to use 8-inch blocks.
You can do it anything you want to.
You can do it.
Especially if the client agrees.
You have
agrees.
To be exacting.
Right.
And I have to tell persons, contractors sometimes fail and owners fail in not being specific.
Mm-hmm.
I will use 8-inch block. I will plaster both sides of the wall
right.
with
brown
cement,
and finish.
Brown and finish.
That's correct.
I will paint the wall afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Prime and paint.
Write it down
Everything.
Like you're talking to a 5-year-old, and
yes.
I tell you it will save you tens of thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. And some people say I don't like all the details. But I remember one job that I was doing in Bahama, what's it called? Bahamia West.
Yeah.
And the client said, you know, the reason we chose you is because there was another quote that was a little bit less than yours, but they didn't go into any detail.
The details, yeah.
But it was the wife that actually said, you gave all the detail. We knew exactly what we were going to get at the end of the day, and that's why we chose you. So that's something that you have to do.
You
that.
Have to do.
Yes.
Listen, now let me give you a real case example of a contractor. and a client that I was asked to come in and from the Contracts Association and mitigate, you know, just a number of terrible scenarios. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I asked for is I asked the client to show me the contract. I read the contract. The contract said that I will construct and make renovations to your home at the cost of $259,000. And so when we got into the issues that we're having, and
that's all it said?
That's all it said. So this wall, he was supposed to move this wall and put a window here and put a door here. I said, where does that say that in the contract? Oh, he knew what we wanted to do. I say, see, oh, there we go again. Mm-hmm. Did you communicate and accept that he said he was going to do X or Y? I said, both of you guys are at fault. And these are intelligent people. I say, none of you, the client nor the contractor, specified what the intent of this arrangement was. So I can't say he's wrong, and I can't say you're right, because all I see is I will construct and make renovation to this property for $259,000.
If those people were getting divorced, they would have all of the details done, right?
Yeah.
Right. See what I mean?
But for a house, because for $259,000,
right,
you agreed X and Y contractor will just construct and make renovations to this existing property. No details of what you wanted specifically.
It could be wood. It could be metal. It could be glass.
We're saying is that the more specific you are,
yes, the less problems.
It reduces the confusion between the client and the contract. And it doesn't have to be made up by an attorney. All I'm saying is that you sit down and say, I would like this wall to be cut open, and you install a window and a door there. The door is, 6'8" by 3' wide that leads into the kitchen. I want the door to be wood. I want you to paint the door, add hinges, locks, hardware to the door when you complete, and that's our contract for just the installation of a door in its existing wall. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a whole house now.
Right.
And I've seen one-pagers, which just said, I quote you, $300,000 to build this house. And then Rowdy comes, you're doing the walls, and all of a sudden, that toilet, I don't like that toilet. I wanted a different type of toilet. When did you discuss what kind of toilet you wanted? When did you discuss what type of paint? Because he went down to somewhere and got some paint. And I thought he's going to use this type of paint. Well, was it specified? So it's so amazing, the things we don't talk about it until it's often too late in the contract.
Right. And I think that banks, the lenders, should really be involved in this a little bit more, as in understanding what the contractor needs to do and what the client needs to do, and to make sure that the client has proper amount of information to know exactly what that building is going to be. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, then before the job even starts, before the money is even
released,
that has to be done properly, because if it doesn't, I can tell you, there's going to be a problem at the end of the day.
I think what I find also, too, is that the expectations are always off, too, when it comes to contracts. Okay, so Debbie, I have a contract with you to build a wall. And between the contractor and the client, we didn't talk about the other elements. Okay, so I take my backhoe, I ripped up this footing to get this wall coming out of the ground. Mm-hmm. Did we consider the landscaping that now interrupted by this trench inside the ground? It's not going to happen perfectly.
Right.
What's going to happen there?
Right.
Whose cost is it now to make it look good after
the
wall is
installed?
And
take all the debris away.
Take the debris away. Mm-hmm. You see, there's so much that people generally don't appreciate that the contractor has to consider.
Right.
In something as simple as a wall. So imagine an entire house.
Right.
Imagine just the amount of times a contractor has to go to the dump and dump stuff, the environmental levies for that.
Right.
That costs, oftentimes, contractors don't even consider.
Right. Yeah. That's part of the, you know, you have like a
general conditions and whatnot. They don't consider it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really, really do a good job at determining the scope of work and writing a proper agreement based on the scope of work, both parties get the benefit of that good arrangement.
Right.
If you didn't, then both parties tend to suffer the loss of an improper arrangement from the onset.
And banks need to, and again, I'm just saying this because we've all been through it, banks need to do, I don't know how to do it, but they need to do something to change how they think about when a hurricane or something like that happens, or COVID
scenario, think about supply chain, which is unrelated to either.
Think about Dorian, persons who were building houses that were not the house was damaged. Mm-hmm. But is there a clause in your contract, in your contract anywhere saying that if an act of God or act of nature has to be taken in consideration and has to be paid for by somebody, not the contractor, right?
Absolutely. Yes. You're right with Debbie. Mm-hmm. One of the things we talk about off air. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back to the scenario, our first scenario about a house takes 12 months, the windows need to be paid for up front. They weren't paid for, but let's say the bank released the monies 3 months later. So mm-hmm. it didn't start in January.
Right.
The monies for the windows were paid now.
March.
In March. It takes 6 months. Now the window stage should have happened in June, July.
Right.
It's now happening in October. Which also means that the completion date is no longer going to be December.
Right.
It's now going to be possibly February, March of the following year.
And I can
that
hear...
three months of added cost of the contractor being on site, portable toilets, general conditions, salaries. Where is that money going to come from?
But I can also hear somebody thinking, listening to this now, saying, well, how would the windows being put in October would slow down the job? Well, hang on. You know what? You need the windows and doors in before you could start putting in your crown molding, your base molding, your cabinets, your ceilings. Yeah. I mean, all of these things, because you want to make sure, you know, this is a house.
Yeah,
you
it has to be protected.
Everything.
And so that drying in process is essential to protecting the interior spaces of your home.
So I guess we could, you know, just say, oh, to heck with it. We don't care. We'll just do all this stuff anyway. And if there's a problem, but that is not the way to do it.
It's not the way to do it because now you have to consider
that.
It
does happen, but that should not be.
No, but let's talk about what happens. And let's help the persons who are novice to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm building a home that has drywall interior, even on the masonry block,
mm-hmm.
your window system is actually a weather seal. It's a
Correct.
Weatherproofing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have the weatherproofing in. You studded your walls, you strip your block work, and you put sheetrock on it. But you don't have the weather.
So mold and mildew.
Mold and mildew is going to happen inside
Correct.
That building.
Yeah.
That's why pre-insulation of partition walls and sheetrock, you ask for the windows and doors to be installed. So what we call in the build process is that mm-hmm. the home is weather tight.
Correct.
That's what it's called, mm-hmm. weather tight.
Mm-hmm.
If you jump over that weather tight process and start to do the interior stuff, exactly what you mentioned.
And who will be responsible for that?
And who will be responsible? Now you have to take out all the sheetrockers that got mold and mildew. Again, that's why it's important to align your financing, align your payments to those elements at the start of the process so it happens on the time when they need to.
Correct.
So we need to go to another break,
and
we will be back on Nailed It on 96.9 Guardian Radio.
But a sickness more than crack, and they just build this house. Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack, oh, because I wrought in steel.
I guarantee with fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at Art Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and that crack of water. Call now.
no steal, no big deal.
Hurricanes are unpredictable, so make CVS Bahamas your one-stop shop for hurricane preparedness. From top-quality impact-resistant windows to emergency generators and camping stoves, you'll find it at CVS Bahamas. They've got coolers, waterproof storage containers, toolkits, tarp, and duct tape too, plus flashlights, work gloves, rope, rain gear, cleaning supplies, and batteries for everything. If it's on your checklist, check out CVS Bahamas, CVS Pro Store, or CVSBahamas.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
So welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian Radio 96.9. Leonard Sands, along with
Deborah Deal.
Debbie Deal, talking about construction, contracts, cost per square foot. The lines are wide open if anyone wants to call. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll-free from the Family Islands at 300-5720. So Debbie, before the break, we were talking about how to structure contract. Contract doesn't have to be something that is confusing or mystifying to people. It just has to really cover all the things that the contractor will do, all the obligations that the client will have. And I want to say something about the obligations. I think most times we think about the contractor of an obligation. The client has an obligation to pay as well.
Correct.
Let's say in a situation where you have your relationship with vendors, mm-hmm. the building suppliers, and you're getting these things on credit. You run up $100,000 on credit to complete your scope of work, and the contractor doesn't pay, and the client doesn't pay you. Mm-hmm. You have $100,000 with a liability to that building supplier.
Correct.
This is where I want the industry and people involved in construction and the client side to appreciate. The contractor is building your home, leveraging their relationships with the concrete plant, the lumber store, the window supplier. When you don't pay them, you're not liable. They are.
Correct.
They're going to possibly face jail time or at least get sued and go to debtors, you know, have the debt following them. So let's all be responsible in this relation, because while you're saying, okay, it's so bad, too bad for them, but they only incurred that debt on your project.
Correct.
Had they not met you, they wouldn't have incurred the debt.
Absolutely. And that's why a lot of contractors, and I'm one of the biggest ones, I'm not a big contractor, but I'm the most I will not build for just about anybody.
No, I don't suggest you do.
I pick and choose.
Yeah.
And I would rather stay home and bake cookies than take some of the contracts.
You have to bake a lot of cookies.
Well, no, but just saying, rather than do a job that you know at the end of the day,
you won't get paid for.
You're not going to get paid for.
Yeah, because that's the side of construction that we don't hear enough. And representing the contractors, the Mahamin Contractors Association, we can tell you there are hundreds of contractors that have lost significantly over the years.
And gone bankrupt.
And gone bankrupt for persons simply not paying them, and they're left with the debt of engaging in someone's project and them not getting paid.
Correct.
And I have to say, I'm hearing some reports in Grand Bahama of similar situations happening.
Oh, wow.
On projects that are quite notable, where the contractor has performed works and not been paid. And I think we have to be very cognizant of the lives that you're affecting when you do that, because these contractors have bills, they have mortgages, they have children in college, and just expenses. When you deprive them of the contract amount that they work for, you could put their whole life in a spin.
And all the persons that are a part of their team as well.
Absolutely.
Because those people that are part of the team trust the contractor.
Yep.
And trust that when it's payday that they'll get paid.
They get paid.
Right.
Yeah, so there's...
And when it doesn't happen, where are we supposed to get the money from?
Absolutely. You so know? The relationship, and I wanted to talk, the relationship between the contractor and the client should never get to a place where it becomes inhuman, where you don't appreciate that while this situation is happening, it's happening with real people, and there's an ongoing risk factor.
Correct.
When I decide to short them, there's a fallout that can happen. It affects more than that one individual.
Correct.
That staff that shows up to work every day from Monday to Friday and expects payment, when you don't, I'm not going to pay the guy for 2 months. Where's he going to find him when he satisfies his employees for 2 months?
I mean, there are things that you can actually do about, you know, adding interest and stuff like that, but that certainly doesn't help at the time.
It doesn't help.
Because a lot of people, the money they get on Friday is that's it. They don't have savings.
Yeah.
That's it. And then they need the money by the next Friday because they got to feed their kids and send them to school and all that kind of stuff too. So yeah. It's very risky to be a contractor.
It is.
Because the contracts are not really... The pay schedule from the banks are not done in a fashion that contractors can really work with. We do, but it's very, very, you're always biting your nails.
You're always biting your nails.
Always.
And that's a good point, Debbie. There's the contract, and I understand that the banks do their best to mitigate the exposure as much as possible, right? But to what end? You're mitigating the exposure to make the job harder for the contractor who's building the house for your client. Now, obviously, we're talking about situations which are forced and doesn't go well. But at the same time, I think that this is where the conversations pre-contracting has to be essentially between the bank, the client has to have a good relationship with them if that's where the financing comes from, and the contractor say, listen, for me to build this house for you in this time, I need the monies like this. If you force me to deviate from this schedule and say, I have to get it like this, here's what's going to happen. And if all parties are aware of how they're forced to work, you shouldn't be alarmed when, like we just gave in the scenario, the windows show up in October, should have been there in July, and now we're completing. I wanted to move in and have a party for Christmas, and because of that, I'm not going to give you a final payment. Mm-hmm. No, I told you, if we didn't pay for the windows in January, mm-hmm. you won't get completion inside December, right. So you're expecting to move in for March, and you're going to have a wonderful Easter party rather than the Christmas party.
Right. And, you know, back when I first started building, and, of course, that was when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
No, not that long ago.
First Home was the bank that was giving out most of the mortgages for people. And what they did is they had the contractor, the client, and the bank. Mm-hmm. So all three had a vested interest in making sure. Yeah, signed an agreement mm-hmm. for all three, because all three had a vested interest mm-hmm. in making sure that project came to fruition. Mm-hmm. When they did that, it worked. But the minute back in 2009, when one of the banks here lost $9 million from contractors walking away from jobs, they decided they were just going to do a contract with the client, and the client when would do a contract with the contractor. There's a gap there.
Yep, there's no relationship.
There's no relationship.
And this is where...
And it doesn't work.
And
because,
it doesn't work.
Because this relationship, the client and the contractor, has no money.
No.
Because they're relying on
the bank,
to give it to the client.
And the bank will tell the contractor mm-hmm. when they call, mm-hmm. you're not our... We don't have any relationship with you.
Correct.
Our relationship is with the client.
Right.
So the client then tells you when they don't get money. I don't have... My bank isn't giving me the money.
Or they decide they're just not going to pay you.
Pay you.
And the bank will give them the money.
Absolutely.
Yes, so, I know that for a fact because it happened to me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I can say more about it, but I absolutely know what you're talking about. But
yes.
This is the risk side of construction mm-hmm. where, and I want to say this as president of the Contractor Association, everyone wants to be a contractor because you don't appreciate all the risks involved in construction. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason why I don't want to be an airplane pilot. You know why? Only reason why. A, I don't want to die by crashing a plane or be responsible for 200 odd lives on a plane. That's the reason why I don't want to be a pilot. I think flying is cool. Mm. I think it's really cool.
Right.
I don't want the risk of death.
Yes.
You should look at construction. Mm. Like, there are easier ways to make money.
yes,
than construction. We glamorize construction too much in this country, where they think it's easy, that everyone can do it. Mm-hmm. You can, but mm-hmm. how well?
Right.
See, there's always a degree that we have to talk
correct.
About. Yes. I can sing, you know. You will not pay me to sing. It's how well can I sing?
Right.
So there are thousands of contractors in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Not all of them make a living in construction.
Right.
They do construction. They don't make a living in construction.
Back in the day, you were a contractor and a taxi driver, or you were a contractor and
something
a fisherman,
else.
Right?
And yeah, all kind of other stuff.
Yes.
So
yeah.
when you're talking with contracting companies and doing it at a certain level, mm-hmm. those persons out there, and I often say this, those persons out there, consider the risk properly before they engage. One of the pieces of information I read daily about construction is simply this. Good contractors say no mm-hmm. more than they say yes. Mm-hmm. Contractors that lose their shirts, this is me speaking to the construction association, construction members, and everyone who could listen. If that contractor always says yes to every job, I can guarantee you he's running a deficit everywhere in his life.
Yes, and that will be a pile of dominoes, because as they're standing up, when one of them falls, the rest of them are going to fall down.
The good contractors in the country, anywhere in the world, says no to projects more than they say yes. So if I got 10 opportunities to build, the good contractors choose the right ones, and they may do 3 or 4 at most. Mm-hmm. If you're doing 6 to 8 of those opportunities, you're not doing good construction.
Well, you're also not able to actually oversee that many jobs because you'd have to add on so many supervisors that the cost would be escalated, and then the client isn't going to want to pay for it.
You're speaking with somebody who understands the construction. If you're a team that's only built of 5 people,
yes,
and 1 and 2 of them is your one, and the mm-hmm. second one is your supervisor, how do you do 7 jobs? You can't be in 7 places at one time.
No.
So I could tell you you're losing money.
Yeah.
You don't have to convince me that you're making money, because I could tell you you're losing money.
Right.
So the good contractors, look around in Providence. Look at where the good contractors are. And I could tell you, you won't find the good contractors on 8 locations inside New Providence.
Right.
There are 1 or 2.
Right.
Because they can effectively price it out, estimate it out, build it out, and manage it efficiently to walk out with a profit. If you see a guy everywhere...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not making money. And if you're a client and you don't really know the person who's building for you, and you ask them for references and that kind of thing, you really do need to go and actually see their work to understand what they actually do, and is it quality work that you would be able to accept, or is it not? You know, that kind of thing. No, there's no sense getting to the end of the job and go, wow, I didn't think it would be like this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, take those opportunities. Yeah. It's like people don't like to call when somebody's applying for a job. They say, oh, I don't want to call their last employer. Right. Well, why not?
How do you know what you're going to get?
Yeah.
But in the construction space, I think when we get more into the conversation with construction, we need to talk about what is good construction? What does good quality construction look like? Because a lot of us think we know, but we really don't know.
Yeah.
I think, Debbie, I think we got a call. We're almost at the end of the show.
Yep,
we got a call. Let's take this call. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, God and Nidjeth. Great topic tonight, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
My uncle's boss, I don't know if you remember, Fletcher McIntosh.
Oh, absolutely.
FBS Construction.
Yep, absolutely. Wow.
Understand? And both administration, he was that company. Of the excellent work they do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know FES very well.
I didn't know he was affiliated with one side.
But
so he only worked every 5 years then?
No, his work speaks for itself, and
yes.
He was an absolutely great contractor. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now his son,
Yeah, it's taking over construction. Yeah.
Son, you know what I mean? So they carry the legacy, man.
That's
I
great.
Know.
That's
I know.
Awesome.
So... Are you calling from Abaco, or are you
here in Nassau?
You're in Nassau?
I was in Free Buffalo. I had to come here to Nassau, but hopefully I can get back over there.
Yeah, I think they're still doing some work, but they're doing most of the work, I imagine, now these days in Bakers Bay.
Exactly. Yeah. They're on all the keys in Abaco right now.
There we go.
Yes, thank you for calling, and
no
the best
problem,
of
no
luck.
Problem.
The best of luck.
I also wanted to say as well, you need the right type of personnel, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No,
they've had those guys from young.
Yes, and this is
and
where
the guys who were old faded out, and mm-hmm. these guys came into there. You know what I mean? So yeah. everything is taught and retaught and retaught.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what you need in an organization.
Absolutely, yes. absolutely. Yes. And you mentioned a very important point. Persons don't appreciate the fact that a contractor is only as good as the persons he employ.
Absolutely.
He's exactly. only as good as the persons he employ. Yeah. Exactly. I want to thank you very much for your call, and please call back on the next show. We're almost out of time.
I will. Very intriguing.
Thanks. So next week, we're actually going to have a guest on.
We will have
yes.
a guest on the show.
Yeah, we're not going to say who.
No.
But
so
we have a guest
in.
On. Yes, we wanted to get rid
yeah,
of
the
all
foundational
the,
stuff yes. out of the way first, and then yes. we get into some more deeper conversations with persons who have been in the industry for a long time to lend some value to the conversation we're having and introduce some products and services.
Correct. And feel free to call the BCA, the
yeah,
office.
Absolutely.
Send an email. If there's anything that we've said that you would like more information on,
yeah.
please contact us, because that's what we're here for. We're here to educate everybody, the
yes.
consumer and the contractor, to make it a better fit.
Yeah, and
yes.
a better relationship for everyone.
Yes.
And so the numbers for the Bahamian Contractors Association is, the office numbers is 356-8850. That is 356-8850. Or you could email at admin@bahamiancontractors.com. That's admin@bahamiancontractors.com. So this has been Leonard Sands.
And Debbie Deal.
For Nailed It on Guardian Radio FM. See you next week.
Next week.